You're listening to What Were You Thinking with Eric McCoy and Paxton Dickerson, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Eric McCoy, and I'm here with Paxton Dickerson. I'm really excited. This is a brand new show for you guys called What Were You Thinking? And I want to give you guys a quick bio of myself. I have worked in the substance abuse industry for almost 20 years, probably closer to 18 years. I am the host of a podcast called High Wall Clean, based on the premise that highness is not a property of drugs. It's a property of people. And so let's keep getting high. As I always like to say, keep getting high, but let's do it clean.
I love that.
And I'm also the director of education at New Creation College, which is a college that works to educate those that are working to become substance abuse counselors. And now I want to bring it over real quick to Paxton Dickerson.
Hey, thank you, Eric. All right, this is Paxton Dickerson. I am of a Mechanics of Recovery, owner and founder of Mechanics of Recovery, a psychoeducation delivery system, lectures, psychoeducations, seminars, etc. Mechanics being the inner workings of recovery, being regaining control of anything lost, stolen, or given away. All right, also, please visit www.mechanicsofrecovery.com. Also, creative.com, the CRE8V.com. And that will be also broadcasting my podcast, which is The Low Council. All right.
All right. So this is kind of what we're going to do. This is kind of the format of what we're going to do is we're going to talk about a topic. We're going to discuss certain things. They probably, in some cases, will be a bit controversial, which we're good with. And a little bit later on the show, we're going to ask for you guys to call in. The phone number that you're going to use is 323-203-0815. And again, I'll bring this up later, but I only got one question that I got to ask.
What were you thinking? What the fuck were you thinking? Call us, LA Talk Radio, Facebook, latalkradio.com. Again, the 323-203-0815.
You know, since this podcast or this radio station is called What Were You Thinking?
Yes.
You know, when I was attempting to get clean and sober many years ago, the only way that I eventually reached that place to where I was going to make changes, to do things, to motivate myself to, you know, being clean and sober,
right,
was I had to make that decision myself. Nobody could make it for me. You know, in this industry, we see all the time, we got, you know, lots of counselors out there. Hey, Paxton, you're an addict, right? You are an addict.
Oh, I don't want to be an addict.
And it doesn't mean anything, you know, until you actually believe it yourself.
You're a this, you're a that.
Absolutely.
Eric called me up, actually was in person. So Eric looked over at me and said, Paxton, we need to do a radio show. We need to do this thing. And I want to talk about different perceptions, different ideologies. Why are people rooted and stuck in certain ways of thinking? And I'm like, well, yeah, that's what me and you do all day long. We might as well talk about it on the radio, too.
Thinking for yourself, ooh, you know, that is the thing that we do not seem to do. I look out there in all of society. People do not think for themselves. They think through the minds of other people. And I think this is the biggest, one of the greatest problems that we have right now in this country is that we don't do that. You know, we look at our schools, our educational systems. We've got forced curriculums, right?
Forced. On you. Yeah. You will learn this. And that's it.
And not talk about this.
Right.
And do you see that as a problem?
Well, most definitely. I mean, what if I want to learn about Greenland? What if some of my family's from Iceland? Why aren't we going to spend some time on that? Why do we spend time on Italy, France, England, American history, and then the continent of Africa? Wait, what? That's a whole big continent. Each country has zillions of languages, and we're just going to, that's just a half a chapter.
Or the other side to it is that, you know, we, you know, junior high, you got elementary school, junior high school, and we spend so much time, history, science, math, and not actually teaching things that are going to help people be successful in life.
Life skills.
Self-esteem, learning to love yourself.
I'm talking about interest, taxes, how to get a bank account. What the hell do I do with this thing for my car? You know? But yeah, those too. It's like the internal, financial, the life skills, the emotions, the mental, How do I handle my grandma dying? Is someone going to teach me that? I'm in school while it happens. What do they do? Just go home.
Yeah, and one of the questions that I do want to ask, and I was thinking about this, you know, when we were driving out here, was I'm very curious on within our educational system. You know, we have all these parents that do not want sex education to be talked about or taught, drug or substance abuse education to not be taught. And I don't want to kind of give my perspective on it yet, but I do, and we hopefully can have some phone calls, people call in to give their opinions on that. Because I think it is a very important topic.
Is it the equivalent of don't go to the doctor and then you don't get diagnosed? Or is it, you know, don't force that on my child and they're not ready to hear it and I'll decide when they're ready to hear it or whatever?
Yeah, if you don't go to the doctor, you never get sick.
You know, while we're waiting on a phone call, someone did say, what is the most common misconception that each of you feel that people have about you?
The most common misperception.
What's the most common misconception that you feel people have about you personally?
Well, if they know anything about me, that I am not trustworthy, I'm a loser. you know, if people do learn about my past.
Right.
You know, I had a very, very long substance abuse history. 2001, I got arrested 4 times in 6 months, which was actually my 10th arrest in my life. I was facing 15 years in prison.
Serious.
I relapsed in 2013. I ran on a 6-month run, you know, which brings up a really interesting topic because, and I was talking to somebody recently about this, that, you know, when I'm clean and sober, I have integrity, right? I think for myself,
right?
I don't think through the minds of other people. I genuinely care about people. I care about people's interests. I care about what people, you know, that people find happiness. Now you put that drug in me, and this was the most powerful thing that I've ever experienced in my life. In 2013, was a very dumb decision. I relapsed. I went from that integrity, happiness, to instantly Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Right.
It was the potion, and it took me out. I lost. I mean, it was the power, you know, behind that drug addiction, and it was so intense.
Sure.
And
I love it. You know, I was young, 12 going on 13. And honestly, I discovered I had a mutant power. And my mutant power was influencing, changing of minds, altering perceptions, altering your reality. Let me get a 10 for 5, loan me 3 because all I got is 2. And then put on an Argyle sweater and sit at my grandma's dinner table and go, thanks for the cookie, grandma. And it's like, man, what do I do with this magical power? You know, what I'm going to do with it. Well, because I'm an addict, and that was one of the ideas that popped into my head first. You know, not to take it to the stock market, not become a Hollywood actor. It was, you know, wow, you know. Yeah. Girls, guns, money, and drugs. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, and so, you know, through all of my experience, the one thing that, and again, for people that do know me, you know, I am not about telling people what to do. I'm not about telling people what to think.
Right.
But what's important to me and what always intrigues me is how people think, right? How people think. How do people view the world?
Right.
Because I personally, I don't care about people's beliefs, their opinions on stuff. You know, their political side,
affiliation.
You know, any of those types of things. But what matters to me is how are they thinking? How are they viewing the world? What are their perceptions of things?
Right.
You know, and again, looking at things in the real world. I teach self-esteem a lot. And, you know, one of the premises on self-esteem is that we live in reality, you know, that we live in the real world. You know, we look at, you know, Facebook and all the, you know, all the social media posts.
Yeah.
You know, people just put stuff out there and they're like, thumbs up, great, wonderful. They didn't even read it, you know.
You know, Eric and I were talking earlier and we were talking about different racial issues.
And this is the greatest thing, a black man and a white man talking about this.
Hey, for America. Because you go somewhere else, they wouldn't care. You know, they'd be pygmies.
Right. Exactly.
And yeah, they'd be like, what the fuck, who's a black? but yeah. And we are in America, so he's correct. I was telling him a story. I'm in Orange County. We're in Orange County, California. And that's where I live. And I was in Costa Mesa, pretty, you know, upper echelon area. And I parked my car. I had a brand new BMW, and I white, and then I parked it next to a blue BMW. And the blue BMW's trunk was open. And three young Caucasian men dressed, you know, on a lunch break from their business were walking down the street. And I looked at them. They looked at me. And they didn't think anything of me or the trunk. And they went into the restaurant. Now, I'm in a three-piece suit right now and usually. So I'm in a three-piece suit. And I'm looking at this trunk. And I'm thinking, I should probably close it. I'm a good Samaritan. I don't like that. There's things in there. Somebody could be missing those things. And I said, you know what? It'd just be my luck. I told Eric, it'd be my fucking luck that I'd put my hands in that hood and the person would come out, or the alarm would go off, or who knows what. And so I said, I thought better of it, honestly. I said, nah, I'm not going to do that. So I went into the restaurant and I grabbed the waitress and I said, hey, one of your customers has a blue Mercedes and the trunk is open. And, you know, and she said, okay, cool. And went off probably to find the customer. Now, walking out, I passed by the three gentlemen who were waiting to get seated, and one of them, very soft and politely, said, hey, man, thank you. And I didn't think nothing of it at first. I was like, all right, bub. And I went outside, got my car. But later on, I was telling Eric, I was thinking to myself, who was he thanking me for? And now I've gotten arguments with black people and white people and all, actually, any race that I've talked to, and I've gotten in arguments with them where they said, Paxton, you're reaching, or I think you're seeing something that's not there, da-da-da. But, you know, Eric and I were just, you know, we're gliding through traffic, and he said, no, Paxton, that's something, something there.
But then I also asked him,
sure,
why did it matter to you?
Right. and I told him, I said, you know, I think it mattered because I noticed it, you know, and it didn't matter in a bad way because, honestly, you know, and I'm like Eric, I study people. That's all I do. I did it in my addiction like a fucking champ, and I do it now as a job and as a hobby. But it wasn't bad. I don't think he was like, evil black man, or it wasn't, there was no bigotry, there was no racism, but he definitely felt like he was at home and that I wasn't, and he was thanking me on behalf of his home, is what I got. I don't know. What do you get? Call in and tell us what you think. 323-203-0815. But, yeah, you know, we talked about that for a while, and it was just amazing.
Yeah, we got into, you know, obviously racism,
sure,
and, you know, prejudiceness and things like that. And we're actually planning to do something that I think is going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to spend a day with him.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. We're going to dress up very closely related suits and stuff, and we're going to get some good video on the differences between, yeah, how people view a black man versus how people view a white man.
In Southern California, yeah.
In Orange County.
In Orange County, you know? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I, you know, going back to this concept of thinking for yourself, right? And one of the reasons I really brought this up was, you know, I was originally wanting to discuss how, you know, again, most of our society doesn't do that, you know? I mean, you could look at the race factor, right? And you got, you know, people in the South, right, that are raised with hating black people.
Yeah, it's part of it. Yeah.
And then we can also sit, though, and understand it in the fashion that, okay, if this is what you're taught,
right,
how are you going to know anything different?
Right.
Right? And so you could empathetically look at it both sides. You know, obviously that's not necessarily a good thing, but it works.
Well,
you know,
old racist has never surprised me.
Right.
And old meaning I'm 47, so what I thought was old when I was young, growing up in Norfolk, Minnesota, was, you know, they're probably dead now. But, you know, the sign of the times, literally, you're going to have some issues. going to have some prejudices,
yeah,
you know. But to be unwilling to evolve, unwilling on the feed, said he thought he was just being a decent person and just putting it out there, thanks for being a good human being.
Okay.
That's not the vibe I got, but it's possible.
But you never know.
Right.
Again, you know, I want to tell you a quick story too. On
sure.
And this really goes back to the thinking for yourself idea. So I had a program in Anaheim called Serenity Life Counseling years ago, and we had, again, being Orange County,
right,
we basically did a lot of alternative sentencing. I would go in and I would, you know, fight with the judges to get them out of custody and get into our program.
Sure.
Now, a lot of these people that we ended up getting in were multiple, you know, probably some of them had spent half their life in prison.
Right.
And being Orange County, of course, a lot of them were white supremacists. Right?
Yeah.
And there's one guy in particular, and this really stands out, and I think it's such a cool lesson, right, was that I went and I met with this guy, talked to him. He wanted to come in. He didn't think we were going to have any success with it. We did fight. We got him out, right? He had to do a year in our program. One of the things that I really learned with him coming in was he was highly racist, right? Highly racist. And the funny part was that I was in the process of looking for a therapist,
sure.
right? And so I was, you know, interviewing different therapists, and I found a therapist that was probably one of the greatest therapists I've ever met in my life. He had this demeanor about him. He was a black guy,
sure.
you know, had this demeanor about him, was just amazing. So I hired him on, and he came in and he did groups. And I remember the first time that this therapist came in, and the client realized that he was going to be in group. He comes into my office. I won't say exactly what he said,
sure.
but I'm not going to sit in group with this.
You know.
Yeah. and I told
him. I'm
not
sitting in group with that coon monkey yeah. jumping.
It was even worse than that. But yeah,
oh,
yeah.
nice.
But I looked at him and I said, you know what? Hang on a second, man. I said, all I want you to do is just sit in the back. Just listen.
Right.
Don't participate. Just all I want you to do is listen. Just open your ears up, right? And so he did, and he came back in, and he said, you know what? All right, it wasn't that bad. And then I ended up getting this real story on this guy. This guy grew up with a father who was like the grand poobah of the KKK down in the Midwest.
Deep in, yeah.
And that's what he was taught. That's
right.
what he, you know, black people are stupid, right? You know, and all the, you know, things that go along, right?
Right.
And that's what he believed. You know, he was taught these from the people that he trusts the right. most. Parents, dad, you know. And so one thing that happened, though, was after about 3 months, the client comes to me and he goes, can he be my therapist?
Yeah. Yep.
And I was like, I mean, it kind of gave me the chills, you know, in a sense, right? And I thought on that a lot. Why did that happen, right? And the thing that I came up with was that when he was able to see one thing,
sure,
right, that didn't fit with what he was taught,
yeah.
it shattered it.
It's easier to deal with a full-blown racist because, I mean, it's easier to deal with someone who does not believe in gravity because all I have to do is go, yeah. and it's like, oh, shit. It's the subtle. It's the racism that's not racism, the prejudice that is preconceived, you know. It's the, well, what are you talking about? I'm not racist. I mean, go home, nigger. I can handle that. It's like, I will go home. I have the keys to my house right now. I'm about to go home. Thank you for inspiring me to do so. But it's the, what are you talking about? Huh? Well, you know how to swim? I didn't know. It's like, wow. You know, and that's, honestly, I'm just using black because I'm black. But that's for anything. You know, I was in a restaurant. Sushi restaurant. And a Filipino. leaned over to me and said, excuse me, sir, but, you know, making cry sounds is fucked up. You probably need to stop that. And I said, you know what? You're right. Thank you. I won't do that again. I'm not going to double down on my own bullshit.
You acknowledge
it. Because I acknowledge it. It honestly didn't come to my mind. And, you know, while he was telling me, I was reviewing it in my head going, yeah, it is kind of fucked up. Like, hey, Paxton, you know, maybe that was cool when you were 5 and you just watched a kung fu movie, but you're a grown-ass man in a sushi restaurant. What the hell are you doing? And, you know, and I acted accordingly.
Yeah.
I don't think it's about whether you're prejudiced or not. It's about whether you're willing to look at it.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, who's not prejudiced?
I think it's within everybody to a certain extent.
Sure.
You know?
Unless you know everything about everything. I mean, you take the most well-rounded person. If me and you, and we're pretty well-rounded. I mean, you know, Eric and I are pretty well-rounded, pretty non-judgmental.
We can handle things pretty well.
Yeah, we can handle things pretty well. And let's say we both go to Australia. And they say, hey, you're going to go spend, some month out in the woods with, not Aborigines, Australian natives. The
One that's have the real strong accent?
Yeah. No. Like the
that's black not a knife. Yeah.
I mean the black people of Australia.
Oh, okay.
The, out of the woods.
Oh,
not
yeah.
These,
The Aborigines? Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Or correct me if I'm wrong. But anyway, you know what I mean. And we're going to have some preconceived notions. Fuck, we don't even know what their names are. We're going to go out there and be like, you know? And they're going to probably laugh at us and be like, you silly, dumb American. They probably won't even say white and black. They'll be like, you dumb Americans came out here and don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Which goes right to ignorance.
Right.
You know? And that's where, I think that's where one of the greatest problems is lack of knowledge, ignorance. You know, the ignorance that people have out there. I mean, you could break this into, like, I mean, religion, I think, you know, this is always a great touchy subject, you know, is religion.
Right.
Right. And, you know, I'll tell you, you know, throughout the years, I believe in God and, you know, but there are a lot of struggles that I have.
Sure.
Right. And most of it has to not have anything to do with the Bible, but it actually has to do with the people that say they believe in the Bible.
Right. Right?
Because if you look at humans and people and the manipulation through all the time about, you know, using the Bible, you know, they in the name of God, right? Slavery, right? Slavery, you know, it says in the Bible to obey your master, right? Yeah. Slavery is okay.
Yeah,
so now they fail to read other parts of it, you know, so it's
we got to go to Arab countries and destroy them because they're not our thing. And rah, rah, rah.
It's a pick and choose, you know, pick and choose.
You know, and I believe in divine. You guys, you know, a lot of you guys, if you know me, you know, I'm, you know, I have a very not mainstream belief system. It's becoming more mainstream, but still, and yet, same views that Eric said. It's like, you know, I struggle with sometimes the people who practice these things. Even the things that I teach sometimes, you know, it's like, it's really easy to get ego in, you know, well, what I believe, and I believe it better than you do, and I'm going to look down on you for not believing it as much as I do, or for believing wrong, and it's like that ego creeps in, you know, just the whole idea of saying I'm spiritual. It's like, I want to be, you know, yeah. And I've said it, I'm not saying, you know, obviously, but it's these labels and there's so many different religions, there's so many different philosophies, and there's so many different, I did a quote, Alan Watts, and he, to paraphrase, he said, you know, if you're here in America, you know, they say Jesus knew he was God, and if you're in America, then if you say you're God, they're going to put you in the funny farm. You go to India and say, hey, I just realized I'm God. They'll go, you finally found out. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, and regardless of what you believe, that's not the point. The point is to see how that unfolds, mm-hmm. You know?
And that, you know, I think that if we all could evaluate our things, look at our things, look within facts, you know, so,
right.
and that's really where the biggest problem that I see out there is that people don't base any information off facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they hear it, Facebook thumbs up,
yeah.
They read it, they listen to it on the news, you know, whether this be politics, whether this be religion. You know, and religion is all about somebody's perspective.
Right.
In terms of you go to church and you listen to a preacher.
His interpretation.
And it's going to be their interpretation of what it is. You can go to another church and you can hear their interpretation.
Or why it's relevant what, now. Or
what if
yeah.
you read it yourself?
No, you can't.
Yeah. What if? Wow.
No, you can't do that. Can't read this stuff in your own house. You can't burn the sage in your own house. You can't have your own setup in your own house. You can't have your altar in your own house. You got to come here and do it. And with the smoke screen and the machines and the things and the oh and the ah and the ooh and the,
yep.
You know, pretty soon they're going to have like, you know, dun, 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 dun. You know what I mean? Yep. God. Yeah. Someone actually just commented that they've done that. So what we were talking about earlier. Had done that themselves with their own race, had their own preconceived notions, you know, and that's cool of you to admit.
Preconceived. And we were talking about that before,
yeah.
You know, you were saying, you know, like you as a black man, you know, would walk down the street and people would say, oh, you got court?
Yeah, you got court.
Yeah, you got court. Yeah. You're going to,
you go to a party, you got something big going on. I'm like, I just came from work, man. What are you talking about? Job.
And you drive this?
Yeah.
What? How can you afford it?
You're so short to be a basketball player.
But that's
And I've never heard your album.
But that's something that you hear from your same
Race sometimes, you know. And other but it's like, wow. And I'm not saying it's like, oh, brother man, you should know better. It's just interesting. I take, again, you know, the whole reason Eric and I are having this talk show is not because we take the shit personally. We study the way you were thinking.
And the way you were thinking.
And the way you were thinking, right? You know, we're studying.
What the hell are you thinking?
What the hell are you thinking? Hey, we want to know how you're thinking. Please call in 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. That is how to get on this show live, and we will address your question, and we'll have a conversation.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. And like I said, you know, try to stay on topic. If you call in, you know, we really kind of want to focus on this, you know, thinking for yourself, you know, not thinking through the minds of other people. And like I said, this was the real power I found in recovery. I mean, if we go again to substance abuse was my ability to think for myself, you know. And this hurts a lot of people out here when I say this. The 12-step program is a good example. And again, I'm not opposed to the 12-step program. It's a great program, but they're very black and white.
Sure.
You know?
Poof, and that's it.
If you don't get a sponsor work step, go to meetings, you're going to get loaded. Which is also saying, though, right, that who keeps you sober? You do, right? But that statement is saying that, no. If you go to meetings and you do the steps, that's what's keeping you sober.
Right.
Right? And so I think that's a misled.
Then also the third step is, no, God keeps you sober. So well, there's always room for interpretation when you have this black and white statement that this is it.
Well, and that's part of the problem, too, is like there's a lot of statements within the 12-step program that sort of contradict each other, too. Hey, you know, you're not supposed to make any changes in your first year of recovery.
Change fucking everything.
But the only thing you need to change is everything.
Right. Right.
And
right.
So there's some contradictory, you know.
Definitely. You know, I'm just going to have to get vulgar for a second.
Hold on, we got a call here.
Oh. Hey, welcome.
Who are we talking
to?
Hey,
how you doing?
Good.
Hey, it's Mark Roberson. And love the program. I keep following you on TikTok. And
oh, right on, Mark.
Very timely information. So I'll try to stay on topic. I don't have an addiction that I admit to anyway. Okay.
All right, well said, Mark.
Wait, that sounds scary.
Well said, Mark.
But, you know, I will, and I don't know if it's more of a question, but I guess I can frame it as a question. It seems like there has been an enlightenment of thinking for yourself. I'm seeing, you know, generationally, more folks are kind of breaking out of their boxes of what they've thought in the past and realize that it's been more of a programming than it has been, the truth. And basically, I just want to find out if you all have seen or feel or have experienced that as well.
You know what? I honestly, absolutely, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Good call.
Yes, I see this all over the place. You know, I mean, even with what I do, you know, I do a podcast, you know, High Wall Clean. I have amazing guests on my show. And there's so many people out there that are sitting in that. I'm thinking for myself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not. Now, certain areas of this country,
sure,
you know, particular places, they are stuck.
Right.
That's where I kind of wish, you know, that if people would really be able to sort of put their biases, put their, you know, things aside and just look at, okay, does this make sense?
On a mundane level, I can just say, even like the way I frame my job, it's like this a new age of, you know, being a consultant. I don't have a boss. I work for many different companies. I go and come as I please. I do not have a stand. I don't even have a job title. People don't even know what the hell to call me because I'm not even really, you know, I'm not even certified or registered. I have a skill set. I've been doing it for 20 years. I've had past certifications and registrations and initiations and, you know, collaborations. But it's like, it's breaking out of the box.
Yeah.
What, 20 years ago, I don't know how old you are, Mark, but I mean, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you could not go into Target and find incense. You cannot go into world market and find sage. That was not happening. You know, a corporate lawyer could not have Buddha beads on, and a Supreme Court judge couldn't have like a little crystal on a string. You know, that was not.
Go to head shops and buy speed pipes.
But you know what I mean? But the spirituality stuff.
What's that, Mark?
I said, or go to Spencer's. You know, I'm older than both you guys.
I
know what Spencer's is. It was a little store that was in the mall. You see all the weird stuff, and that included incense.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm 47, and it's like, you know, a lot of those things were not going on. Man, I remember yoga. If you practice yoga, or even said yoga, or knew what yoga was, you were, oh my God, you're some weird hippie, weird mystic weirdo. Witch. Yeah, weirdo. Now it's like every sports team is doing it. A lot of churches are doing it. You know, I mean, like, it's, well, every treatment center is doing it. It's like, it's now a thing.
Yeah.
And then it gets whitewashed, too. Once we accept it, then we start taking it over. You know, it's like with crystals. Every yim-yam in the world knows about crystals, and every little teenage girl has a tarot card deck, and she's a divinator from the on high, and it's like, and I'm not downing that kind of stuff, but I actually like it. But to answer your question, yeah, I've seen a huge change.
Yeah, do you got any example? Or
well, me? Oh yeah. Well, I have an example of actually just my sons. I have three sons, and 34, 24, 20. They've all are at different levels of their awakening, if you will, and myself as well. You know, I, as Paxton stated, you know, I've been worked for corporate America for years, and you know, you never could, you know, if you had crystals or a little bead around your wrist or something,
right?
You know, you had to keep it tucked under your suit jacket, so.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, and you know, the,
no one knew you were,
and the older you are,
power from
right.
Yeah. The older you are, you know, it obviously becomes much more difficult.
Sure.
You know, you get kind of stuck in, you know, and I get that. I mean, if I were 60, 70, 80, whatever, you know, years old, and I've been doing the same things over and over, and I've been thinking the same way, that's hard to change.
Right. Very. You know, my father. Go on, Mark.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, I'm 57 years old, and, you know, just one day I woke up and said, you know, screw it. So, you know, I can't deal with the rat race.
Yeah.
So I became a consultant, you know, worked for some companies independently, and just recently went back into corporate America. But when I came back in March, you know, it's on my terms. It's
right.
You know, I wear my beads and my, you know, my necklace.
That's awesome.
I wear. it's just who I am, and my beliefs are not. I don't shut them. I don't try to hide them. If it comes up, I'm saying it. If it sounds weird to somebody, that's frankly it's their problem. That's not mine. So.
Well, and that's the key. You know, you made change because you said, you know what, this is going to be better for me. You know, I mean, that's kind of the way I've, you know, if I look at my life and, of course, all the things that I've done in my life, I mean, obviously the changes I made were, you know, to ultimately improve myself,
right,
to become a healthier person, which then in turn, obviously, I was able to help other people. And
that's the process.
And that is, I mean, that's exactly what, and I think we're seeing a lot more of that.
We are. My father, you know, my family on my father's side, and thus my family, deep African Methodist Episcopal, AME church, boom, 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 boom. And my father, at a young age, knew I wasn't. Yeah. I don't know how, why, but my brother agreed, my mom agreed. Somehow he looked at me and he said, but that's not you. And he fed me the... not the opposite, but something totally different, you know? And if you follow me on TikTok, you know the kind of things that come out of my heart. And it's like, he fed it to me, and I was studying mythology and sacred geometry and all this other stuff at an early, young age six. And it's like, but he never wavered in his belief. But he just was strong enough in his own love for me and his own belief system to not even just not, you know, it's not like he tolerated it. He encouraged it. Mm. I don't even know if I could do
that. Well, you know, you can't, at least in my point of view, because, you know, I grew up Southern Baptist. My wife is Jehovah's Witness. So, you know, all I've told my boys is that you have to have a spiritual understanding and spiritual background, because it kind of becomes the core of who you are.
Right.
But I'm certainly not going to try to take them, down the same roads I went to, because I don't know if those are right. I know they weren't right for me.
Right.
But
well, religion, religion is one of those things. I mean, I used to do a lot of educational groups with families, and one of the dysfunctions in a family is the violation of boundaries. There's two reasons for dysfunction. You know, you have needs in the end of the individuals in the families that aren't met, and or there's a violation of boundaries, and one of them being a dogmatic or authoritarian type family system. And and this becomes horrifically damaging to people. But I've thought about it a lot, and I think about that. If I truly believe, if you look at, some of the, obviously, was like the Mormons,
yes.
if you drink coffee, you're going to hell.
Oh, wow.
Anything that gives you pleasure, you're going to hell.
Right. Don't wear red. Stop dancing.
But if I truly believe that, right, if I, like, deep down to my core, I believe that is true, right, the last thing that I should be doing, though, is shoving it down my kid's throat.
Right.
There's got to be a better way to do it, because one thing that I saw
was it creates low vibrations.
Well, one thing that we saw was I was the director for a place in Newport Beach, Newport Coast Recovery, and
sure.
We had a whole slew of clients from Utah.
Oh, wow.
Now, we know Utah.
I've gotten that too. Yeah, I've gotten that too. I've gotten that in one of my treatment centers too, yep.
And so many rebel, and it's a teaching through fear. I mean, I don't know and I don't believe that teaching through fear is a very productive way to teach.
Well, one, fear, absence of faith, crisis mode or punishment, teaching to learn to lead to housing, wisdom, knowledge, insight. Like, literally, that'd be like saying throwing the pin out the window is a good way to cook. Like, what? Real quick, I'm sorry, but real quick, guys, they're complaining they couldn't hear Mark. That's because you're not on the radio show. So if you want to listen in, please go to LA Talk Radio Facebook or latalkradio.com.
Hey, Mark, I want to thank you so much for calling.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks so much, man.
All right.
That was great.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So true.
And that's a great perspective. I mean, I like that. I mean, he kind of flipped that into a positive, our conversation into a positive. Which
I know,
sort of,
right? Because we were going down.
I was going
down.
We were
down, like, ah, fuck people when we hate your face. And
I'm glad he said that, because, yeah, that's true. I mean, we are seeing more of that. You know, we're seeing, we've got more people in. We've got more people in, the healthcare industry. You know, we've got more people that are, striving to do better. Now, on the flip side of this, though.
So, sure.
Let me go down again.
Down is so much more fun.
Yeah. The death rate that we're dealing with, with overdose.
Oh, yeah.
And the numbers that we're seeing, with overdose. And this, to me, again, comes right back to the premise, teaching people to think for themselves, right? Now, I want to say something real quick, for anybody that's heard my podcast has probably heard me talk a little bit about this, but I wanted to say this again, and I think it's really important. I thought a lot about, how do we go in and teach the youth? For years, we look at the educational system and the way that it was done, right? And for a long time, it was fear, right?
Yes.
The fear tactics, right?
The ruler, the nun, the detention, the...
Yeah. And then we had, Nancy Reagan's Just Say No.
Oh, just say no.
And all of these are all based on the premise of not teaching people to think for themselves. Just say no, right? We're not going to teach anything else. Just say no, right?
Stop.
So there's, and that fails to take into account the mind's desire to understand. Our minds want to understand, as kids. Now, of course, we're dealing with kids. They're invincible and they know everything.
True.
But
bulletproof.
How do we reach them? How do we get in there and how do we teach them stuff. And this is what I've thought a lot about, right? Now, follow me on this, okay? If I were going in front of a bunch of youth,
sure,
okay, and I looked at them and I said, you know what, everybody? I like to get high. I like to get high, right? And if I started out on that premise, because again, one of my things that I'm trying to do, again, if you watch my podcast, is remove drugs from the equation of highness, because drugs don't actually get you high. You get high on your own chemicals.
Right.
So that's a false misperception anyway.
And your brain has every single chemical you could, every mineral, crystal, and chemical you could ever smoke, drink, shoot, or find in the world around you, your body has some of it within you.
Yes. And if I started that way, though, right, a couple things are going to happen. One is people's ears are going to pop open. They'll be like, wow, this is cool.
Right?
For people that have tried drugs, and this is where we run into an issue with our youth, right? If you go at our youth and you say drugs are bad, drugs suck, don't fucking do them,
right?
And you've got the group of people that have done it, they're going like, this person doesn't know what they're talking about.
Right.
So you have just lost those people. And those are the ones we really want to get, you know? And so if we went in with more of a tactic of, you know what, guys, I love to get high.
Right.
You guys want to get high? And then we go through a crazy laughing.
Yeah.
Right? If anybody ever wants to really get high, do crazy laughing. I did a whole podcast on this.
It's dope. I do it all the time.
My son always looks and goes, dude, you look crazy, man.
I know it's called that.
If we can go in there with that, you know, if we can go in and bring them, pull them in, get them interested.
I went into the Newport Mesa Unified School Districts, and I did their impact program for a long time. And like you said, man, these kids, man, they're brutal because they are bulletproof and fuck you and whatever, and we could care less. And no, I haven't lost a job, and no, I didn't lose my wife, and no, my kids, I don't have kids. What are you talking about? So... And I went in there, and honestly, I just told the truth. I didn't say drugs were bad. I didn't say drugs were good. I said what I did. I gave them the logical odds. I told them, honestly, maybe some of you guys will be able to do cocaine in college and not fuck everything up. But also, you could be fucking everything up, you know? And, you know, and some of you guys, maybe half of you guys will smoke pot and use it recreationally. Some of you will smoke pot and decide they don't really like it, or they do like it, or whatever. But there's going to be a fraction of you who smoke pot and then snort coke and then do PCP and then up under a bridge and then overdose on fentanyl in the Lolly Baba in Costa Mesa. And you know what I mean? So, you know, I just told them what.
Yeah.
And that, and kind of like what your approach is too, that gave them the freedom to go, to ask the questions that usually people would answer for them without being asked first. Like they asked me, hey, why did you do drugs in the first place?
Yeah.
Like, why did you do that? Instead of them going, maybe I want to do cocaine because this guy said don't. He's, why did you do cocaine? Because I can make my own decision. I'm going to anyway. But, you know, why did you do cocaine? Yeah. And how did it get bad for you? And what did you get out of it? What did it do to you? Why do you say that?
If I can get them intrigued and interested and open their ears and want to learn something, I do it in tactic, whatever way that works, whatever it is that works, right?
Right.
Then, yes, absolutely. We can get into the nuts and bolts, you know? I mean, the reality behind drugs, you know, if you want to look at it, is that if you do a lot of them, your body will become dependent upon them. Goes from homeostasis to allostasis, which is your new norm. You now need the substance for your body to function with the way that it is. Now that is, I mean, kids think they're invincible. You know what? They're not. It's going to happen. I guarantee it. Yeah. If they go that path, that's the reality, you know. But how do we get them intrigued? How do we get them interested? Now, how do we get them to trust me? Trust me. Trust.
And it's not just drugs, because then you're talking about how do I get them intrigued in history? How do I get them intrigued in all these other things in other cultures? How do I get these guys intrigued in other cultures so they even know about other cultures to not be prejudiced or racist or bigoted against them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do I even get them intrigued to even give a fuck what the French Indians did or what the fucking Black Ethiopians did or who the
but
hell?
You know, recovery is one of the industry.
I don't know. I think it's the biggest failure in America.
Sure,
because that's why we started off.
People go to treatment, right? As punishment. That's sure. in their minds what it sure. is, punishment. I'm being punished, right?
Right.
Staff, treat them
like definitely.
They're shit, you know?
Definitely.
People, not all places, but no. I'm saying like, you know, but you have the...
Or,
you know,
no, if I were, even a loving punishment is still a part yeah. of the philosophy.
But if you brought people into rehab and you're like, all right, man, check this out. This is going to be fun, dude. I'm so glad you're here. You know, we are going to have some fun here. This is, you know, and I can bring up things that will interest them, intrigue them, you know, get
I try to get them, not as a punishment and definitely not as a reward. I let them know you have been sent to the X Mansion. Because of your unchanneled abilities, we will put you in the danger room and we will hone those powers. Pachoo, pachoo, you know what I mean? So they're like, wait, what? Yeah, this is a fucking secret pod Project X.
We need to test this guy.
Yeah, right? This is secret Project X. We are teaching you how to hone those talents and powers that got out of your hands when you were younger. Because that's what I believe. That they literally, you know, the addicts and alcoholics, you know, we have, if you look at it, what addict and alcoholic hasn't gotten loaded every day for a year with no money in their pocket?
Most.
Have averted death, suffocation, loss of consumption, hernias, hemorrhoids, heart attacks, strokes, ODs, blood clots. I mean, literally.
Which means all of you out there that have been through that, you got a purpose.
A purpose. Literally, blackouts, they don't even register on our freaking radar. You know what a blackout is? I mean, literally, a blackout means I drove my car here, we come up and do this radio show, our car starts up, drives off, and does stuff, comes back and goes, oh, by the way, you ran over a dog. You got 8 tickets. You fucking smashed into a cop. And I'm like, wait, what? And that doesn't even register. That's how badass addicts and alcoholics with the correct, you know, with not the correct, with the motivation or the enthusiasm or the passion to do whatever it is, can do. It's like channel that. That's what I believe treatment centers should be or are doing. It's the X-Men. It's the X-Men mansion. And we're training them how to use... this Whoa. Thing that they thought was a curse because they have an extra gene in them and that, you
but
know.
But uses it as the greatest strength.
Right.
You know, that's the, channel. You know, if we can take, you know, if we can take our experiences, right, if we can take all the lessons we've learned, there's nothing that I've ever done that makes me who I am. So I'm not right. my actions, right? I'm the one that's done those.
Right.
But those things can help shape me. And if I can get to say, and I love who I am today, then that was the greatest experience. You know, exactly. I use, you know, I for anybody out there that, exactly. you know, has had years and years clean and sober and then relapsed, okay? I'll raise my hand. And, you know, so I had 11 years in 2013, right?
Right.
I had 11 years clean and sober. And I made some bad choices and I relapsed, right? Went on a 6-month run. When I got... And I don't know, I still think today, like, how did I pull myself out of that? And I'm still, you know, it's real fady.
Right.
Real faded.
Fog, yeah.
But I was able to get to Tarzana Treatment Center.
Sure.
Not too far from here, actually.
Right.
And so I get in there, and I fell into the deepest depression, anhedonia. You brought that up, you know, we were driving, right?
Drive
that anhedonic state, right? Anhedonia, deep depression. And I thought my life was over, you know? You know what I said? Paxson, huh. I lost everything, right?
Oh,
I lost everything. But I came to realize that, you know what? That ain't the case. You know, for all of you out there that have been through something like that and you've relapsed, you haven't lost anything. You haven't lost anything. Yeah, sure. Sure, your days.
Right.
But all your knowledge, all your experience, everything you went through.
Right.
You didn't lose and you actually gained something new.
Right.
You know, because I, like I was saying at the beginning of this thing when I was talking, I was like, you know, it was so black and white from the transformation, you know, of going Dr. Jekyll, take the potion, becoming Mr. Hyde. The only thing I didn't do was murder people, though, so I'll...
that, I'll keep my hand down.
But that was powerful, though, you know?
Right.
And so that, I think, is something that, you know, so again, if anybody's been through those experiences, don't beat yourself up over it. You know, take them as lessons. I always, you know, try to get people to think. Again, I'm not about telling people what to think, but looking at how you think. Do you have problems or do you have opportunities?
You know, nice.
And that's, you know, because I wrote a book called Pain, Failure, and Misery Are the Stepping Stones to Success. And the premise being that pain was my greatest friend in life.
Right.
You know, right. That it's what ultimately, without the pain, and those of us that are in recovery are lucky people. We're the luckiest people. We're luckier than people that haven't been through it.
Yep.
Because we work on things that those people don't work on.
You know, and that's another thing, because we're talking about perceptions and changing perceptions. And it's like, addicts and alcoholics are the kings of this. But again, I want to put it to just people in general, that literally average people, take the average person, they see stress as a bad thing. You know, stress is a bad, we're coming up. Stress is a bad thing, and it's like to avoid stress, not to manage stress.
Yep. So we are actually out of time.
Out of time?
Yeah, this went quick.
LA Talk Radio, Facebook, latalkradio.com, 323-203-0815. Save that number for the next time we do this show, but go to the Facebook and the .com to view the whole interview, show.
And I want to thank everybody for listening. You guys have been great.
Thanks, guys.
I'm going to end my other podcast, Keep Getting High.
And I'll end it with, what the fuck were you thinking?
But do it clean. Thanks, guys.
You're listening to What Were You Thinking? With Eric McCoy and Paxton Dickerson, only on LA Talk Radio.